Before my podcast, I want to remind you about my two new books, The Newest, God, Trump, and COVID-19, as well as God, Trump, and the 2020 election. This podcast is not about my books, but I want to remind you to go to my website, stevestrangbooks.com, where you can get them for a special price and have them autographed by the author. My podcast today is with a good friend of mine. We're a little bit personal. We talk about some memories we have, but also there's a powerful spiritual message, which I'm glad about because my podcast is intended to inspire you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. And I have a lot of fun with my podcast, but today I'm going to have more fun than normal because I have a guest who I've known since 1973. That was a long time ago, and he has impacted my life more than almost anyone else, including my own father. His name is Alex Clattenburg. He's well known in our city for having one of the leading churches. It's called Church in the Sun. It's a great church. It's in Orlando, Florida. And we're going to talk to him today about how COVID-19 and other things going on has affected his congregation. But first of all, on a little bit more personal note, I want to talk to him as my longtime friend because I've known him since I was 22 years old, fresh out of the University of Florida. And Alex is only a couple years older than me, but he was already very successful as a businessman. He was involved in ministry. And, you know, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that a few days ago we talked about the fact that Charisma Magazine started 45 years ago. I was 24 years old when Charisma started, and Alex actually had a big part of it. And I don't see Alex as often as I'd like to see. And he has heard me tell this story a few times because it's part of my story. But basically, Joy and I got involved in what at the time was a mega church, and Alex was in charge of the youth ministry. And Joy and I got involved in the church, and we served in various capacities, including being the children's pastor, grades 1, 2, and 3. That was quite an experience. We didn't even have any children at the time, and had no training, no nothing, but we did like the children's church during the main service. And then Alex recruited us, drafted us. It was like fraternity rush, whatever. And he recruited us to youth ministry, and we got real involved. I mean, right up to our eyeballs. And I was a reporter at the Orlando Sentinel at the time and thought that was going to be my vocation. And the Sentinel actually was going to move me to Washington, D.C. They had a bureau there. They had three people. I would have, you know, been the lowest one on the staff. But it was during the summer of Watergate when Richard Nixon resigned. That would have been a very interesting time to be there. And I actually told them no. And part of my motivation was because we were so involved in the youth ministry. And at the same time, Joy was going back to UCF to finish her degree. And my life would have been very different if I'd taken that assignment. But really, I looked up to Alex. He was a friend. He was the leader in the church, of course. He became a mentor to me and really influenced me. I mean, I do things today because I learned them from Alex. I run meetings like Alex ran them. Alex always picked up the tab when we'd go to meals. I'm still picking up the tab all these years later. I mean, these are silly. That's why I'm saying it. I'm laughing. He's laughing, and I need to let him talk. But literally, when it came time to start Charisma Magazine, and it was just an idea to start a magazine for the church, and Alex was on the leadership team there, and I don't know all the ins and outs, but Alex said, you know, we ought to do this. And he was a big supporter of me during the years. And, you know, things were so embryonic. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I felt like quitting or maybe should have quit. Who knows? But by God's grace, we didn't. And so in a lot of ways, Alex's support and friendship at pivotal times is a result of what I'm doing today and, of course, what we've been able to do over the years. And who would have known in the mid-1970s what life would have been like the last 45 years. I certainly couldn't have envisioned it. I just appreciate Alex. As I said, I have been able to say this a few times, and we're going to talk about other things. I'm not sentimental all the time, but when it comes to anniversaries or when I have a friend like Alex, I have to say this. For what it's worth, I did a podcast a week ago with Doug Weed, who also greatly influenced me at that point in my life. And I made some of the same comments. We were talking about President Trump and the election, and he served in two White Houses and written a lot of books. And I made some similar comments because he really influenced me too. But really, Alex influenced me more because we were in the same town, and Alex was much more of an active mentor to me back then. So anyway, that's the personal stuff. I'll get it out of the way. And thank you, Alex, for taking time for your very busy schedule to come. And I'll let you respond. And then I want to talk about what is happening in America and specifically about COVID-19. And I'm interested in finding out how Church in the Sun has responded.
Well, first of all, Steve, I want to say what an honor it is to be here with you today and be at the center here of the Charisma headquarters. And congratulations on 45 years. I think back of what was going on back then, and I was there on the board and discussions about starting this new Charisma, and you're taking it over. And I commend you on all these years, your influence on millions of people and how you have been used of God in a phenomenal way.
You know what? I need to interrupt to say something I forgot. There was one piece of the puzzle. The youth ministry was called the Rock House, one of the leading youth ministries in the nation. It grew and grew and grew, and it was almost as big at one time as the equal to the size of the adult congregation at Calvary Assembly. And they had a youth newspaper called The Rock. Now, back in that era, that was kind of the Jesus People era, remember? And these little newspapers were kind of like witnessing tools, and they had one. And I said, do not make me work on that. I said, I'm a newspaper reporter. I don't want to do it. But somehow, Alex twisted my arm. I did it, and it really, you know, I was a newspaper reporter. I was not a publisher. And really, doing The Rock gave me the bug for publishing. And it was kind of like, well, if we have a newspaper, we could do a magazine. And for a number of years, probably 3 or 4 years, we would do The Rock newspaper 1 month and Charisma the next month. I mean, literally. And The Rock newspaper, of course, has been gone so long, hardly anybody but me remembers it. But, you know, actually, if you had, you know, and here I was rebellious. I said, don't make me do this just because I'm in journalism. But I guess it's hard to say no to Alex. I have never been good at saying no to Alex my whole life. And he just has that kind of leadership ability. But well, anyway, I wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, and I just got a few of those Rock papers a couple months ago. I think you sent them over, and I started to read them and the stories of what God did. And it was a Jesus movement, and it was a real, real move of the Spirit of God among young people. And then when we had the Jesus festivals and how we did that. And by the way, you didn't mention, you were like over in the Rock House, you were working with young adults. I don't know whether you remember that or not.
Of course, I did.
And then later,
the adult singles.
Yeah. So it was a phenomenal move of God. You mentioned about all that is going on and how that affects the church and how has it affected us. You know, we have gone through this process for the last several months, like every other church. I was waiting on the Lord the other day. It was like a Wednesday morning, and it was like I had this alert, and the Lord said, this is an alert. The enemy is going to try to use this situation to literally take the church out. And it was like something prophetic, and I shared this with our church. And that, as you know, a lot of the churches are closed. And of course, the government is affecting the governors in some states. But I just was trying to find out what to do when our mayor had said that you can only have 10. And I spoke with a lawyer and got clarity on that. And we opened our church on Pentecost Sunday. And I wasn't sure anybody would show up. Now, we have a sizable church. And when I walked in there and we had like 800 people, that's like a million people. And the people were so excited. And I see God doing something so powerful. It's like a new wave of the Holy Spirit. And it's time that we have a prophetic voice, and that we do not allow everything around us to somehow cause us to be cowering to what is taking place. But this is a time for us to lead and to say, no, we have a right to meet, and we are meeting. And so people are looking for confidence and strength, not natural strength, but the strength that comes from the Lord, the confidence of the Lord.
Well, you know, shutting down the churches is almost unprecedented. Although here in Florida, we have these things called hurricanes. And if a hurricane comes through on a Saturday or Sunday, the churches are shut down, but so is Walmart, the grocery store, and even the police don't go out in the bad weather, and it's only one Sunday. So here, churches were shut down. At first, we thought this pandemic might be like the bubonic plague. Nobody knew. But then we started finding out that a lot of these officials were using this as an excuse, and still are in places like California. Thankfully, here in Florida, we don't have those same kind of restrictions, but they have told churches in California they can't meet. And if they do meet in small groups, I think maybe 10 or less, they can't sing. And there's a viral video somebody told me about. I'm going to look it up. But apparently some church in California, about 100 or so, went into Walmart and started singing and had a song service right there in Walmart, I guess, to prove that we could exercise our religious freedom in Walmart, but not in our churches. And, you know, I'm so proud of the fact that you stood up to that. I mean, you know, you're a law-abiding, God-fearing man, but you sought counsel, but you weren't afraid, because I'm afraid that the officials are going to see how passive the church was to go along with some of these restrictions. And today it's a virus. What is it next time that we're saying things that aren't politically correct? That we're speaking hate speech as they define it, because they say anything that doesn't agree with them is hate speech. I'm just very concerned. And really, it isn't just winning this at a political level, although elections have consequences. So this next election is going to have huge consequences in the direction of this country. But also, it's a spiritual war. And we Christians, especially those of us who try to live empowered by the Spirit of God, you know, the Bible says that we overcome the enemy in the book of Revelation by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We know that greater is he that's within us and he that's within the world. And I believe that the church needs to stand up, as you have, Alex. And really what we need is a coming great revival. And we were talking about the Jesus movement a minute ago. And of course, a lot of the people probably aren't old enough to remember the Jesus movement. But the 60s was a very unsettling time, not unlike this. The Vietnam War, all the civil rights unrest, when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, the cities burned, there were demonstrations and riots at the Democratic National Convention in 1968. There was the Summer of Love, if you remember. There was Woodstock. There were just all these things that I can remember that most of you haven't heard of. And then the Jesus movement came, a great revival. Hippies, who are known for being drug addicts, started getting saved. And a lot of these people were the ones that came to the Rock House. You reached a lot of those people. They'd get saved in the Jesus movement. They would get settled into a church. And that's what we need. We need a revival like that now. I know you agree, but do you see any of that happening?
I do see it happening. I think it's in the early stages. And I think that as long as pastors are not really stepping out in confidence, and some of our major churches, one, they're going to open next year. And so I think that God is honoring those churches that step up. I think for the church, this is an opportunity of our generation, of our time. And I tell you, Steve, I see, like when we have, like this last Sunday, we had a move of the Spirit. I'm talking about on earth as it is in heaven. And I've been going through what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And I'm talking about praying to the Father and talking about really entering in and realizing how powerful he is. And when he says, you know, our Father in heaven, it's talking about he's on his throne. He's mighty, he's powerful. And we have to have a new understanding that he's not small. We have to see him bigger, more powerful in our eyes, and step out. And when we take that stance, people respond. So I'm at the end of the service, and I hear the Holy Spirit say the word deliverance. I say, all right. So I said, okay, you're bound by something, okay? Come up to the altar right now. And I mean, a mass of people went. People were weeping because there are strongholds over people now. It is demonic, and it is the enemy to silence the people of God. And I'm not going along with him. I am taking a stand in faith that God is doing it and will do it. I remember this was February the 14th. It was 2016. I was on the back porch. I was just waiting on the Lord. And I heard this very clearly. Alex, prepare for the greatest awakening in the history of the Christian faith. You prepare. Prepare. And I'm telling you, Steve, if the church rises up and begins to pray and allows the Holy Spirit to move, we're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to go from defense to offense, from retreat to attack, from passivity to a filled congregation with the Holy Spirit, and nothing stops us. And I think there are some that are watching there, and there may be a pastor or listening, and you need to decide that you can meet. You're here in the city, in Orlando, in Florida, and Matt Staver has helped us, a great man of God, knows the law, and he says, meet, and it's right, and we have a right to, and there's no law here that says we can't. It's our time, and we have to seize the day and stop acting as though God is impotent. When we back up, what we're saying is, he can't. He's small. He's powerless. No, we have to get out and say, hey, listen, we're not preparing for good services. We're preparing for a mighty move of God. This is our greatest opportunity in my lifetime to see the move of God come out of this.
Boy, that is exciting and so encouraging, especially with all the kind of doom and gloom. I mean, some people are actually thinking that this is the beginning of sorrows that the book of Revelation talks about. And some people are thinking that their eschatology is going to be proven by all the bad things that are going to happen. And of course, those things are really in God's hands. But, you know, the Bible says we have to occupy until he comes. And there have been other generations. You know, I think that in the Second World War, a lot of people, things were so bad that a lot of Christians thought that, you know, Mussolini was the Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. And of course, it was really a miracle that the Allies prevailed. And of course, we've had, what, 7 decades now of, or even more than that, 75 years since the Second World War. And we've got to believe God that he's going to bring us through this and that this great move of God is going to happen. And Alex, I want to ask you, you're a man of prayer. You talked about prayer. I want you to pray as we wrap up this edition of the Strang Report, a powerful, powerful prayer. This is not just in fact, I don't do it that often on my Strang Report, but I just felt in my spirit that I should ask you to pray. And those of you who are listening, even though you're not with us now, you know, that doesn't make any difference. You know, we're praying to God, and when you hear this, you pray to God. You enter in and pray with Alex for a mighty move of God. I just want to tell you, Alex, how much I love and appreciate you and how much impact you've had, not only on me, but on thousands of people. There are churches in this city that are pastored by people that you discipled, and there will be tens and hundreds and maybe even a million people in heaven because of your influence. And I just thank God for you. And now as we wrap up, would you pray?
Our Father in heaven, we are praying in the name of Jesus, and we believe that nothing is impossible with you. We're asking you to give us a fresh anointing. We're asking that you will give us a new confidence, an assurance that you are not only with us, you are not only for us, but you will work through us. We ask, Lord, that there would be a spirit of confidence and repentance, that grace, mercy would be demonstrated at this season. I pray for pastors, church members, that we will declare that we are protected by the Lord and that we are destined for great things. Give us a prophetic voice in these days. And I thank you, Lord, for Steve and Joy Strang, for Charisma, for all of the work over all these years that you have used them in an extraordinary way. Bless, O Lord, our city, our nation, and let this nation be one nation under God. In Jesus' name, amen.